Please pray with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, in your final words, you said it is finished. You did. You finished it for us. You became the sin bearer for us. You drank the whole cup of God's wrath for us. You redeemed us. You saved us. You rescued us because you love us. Lord, I pray that we would make much of you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We come every Sunday morning because we want to worship God, the King and Creator of the universe. We want to worship God with our voices as we praise Him. We worship God by serving in this body He has allowed us to be a part of. We worship Him by listening to His Word taught with the desire to be changed and to be obedient. Now, this is a time in our service when we get to worship our Savior by remembering His death on our behalf. We take and eat bread together to remind us of Jesus' body broken for us, and we drink grape juice to remind us of Jesus' blood that was shed for us. If you would, please turn your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. There are a few gospel truths I want to direct our hearts towards this morning from these verses. Grace is God's unmerited favor or kindness, sovereignly bestowed on us by God. First, we see grace appeared in verse 11, a reference to Jesus. The grace of God appeared when Jesus took on flesh. Jesus brought salvation. Salvation is deliverance. Jesus brought salvation or brought deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. Second, we see grace as an instructor, a teacher in verse 12. God's grace trains us, teaches us, instructs us in what kind of lives we are to live, where we are to live our lives, and how we are to live our lives. We have been reprogrammed for holiness by His grace. Now we can deny the things that once defined us and live a life of godliness. Thirdly, in verse 13, Paul says we should be living our new redeemed lives eagerly awaiting Jesus' return. His grace is so sweet to deliver and redeem us and change us that I can't wait to be in His presence. Fourthly, in verse 14, we see grace transforming us. He has redeemed us, is purifying us so that we can display His grace to the rest of the world. Not only does God save us and train us, He uses us. What a Savior. This is a demonstration of redemption that a people who were far off are now near. A people who had no way to heaven now have access. And a people who could do nothing to change their hearts are changed by God. So now that we are people who are zealous for good works. If you are here this morning and you cherish the saving grace that has saved you, is teaching and training you and using you to display His grace, then please, I encourage you to use these gospel truths to examine your heart. And when your heart is ready, go ahead and take communion on your own. However, if you are here this morning and you would say, I don't believe this. I don't need a Savior. I have nothing to be saved from. Then we would ask, when the bread and the cup come by, we'd ask that you would just pass it by. But please, talk to myself or one of the elders after the service. We would love to talk to you. We would plead with you to ask God to reveal to you your sinfulness and your desperate need for deliverance from sin and your need of a Savior.